The information that I'll be covering this morning, a lot of it has been touched on already, but I'll try to make a little sense of what I've put together here. For the United States and northern Mexico, our goal for the boll weevil eradication is to see no weevil. And there are situations and challenges, and I'll call those critical factors that are unique to the winter garden area of Texas, that when working together, and I really think that when they're all combined, it really has a synergistic effect in the weevil survival and volunteer cotton, in what all those factors combined, there's a synergy there, I believe, that make it more difficult to achieve that goal of eradicating the boll weevil. So some of the critical factors are climate and weather. That's South Texas. Irrigation. And a lot of people have irrigation, but I'll touch on what I think it contributes. And then volunteer cotton. And then late planting dates, late harvest, delayed crop destruction, all factor into this. And then I just call it topography and overwintering habitats in Texas or South Texas. And then Texas-style deer hunting. It's kind of unique the way it's done in Texas compared to a lot of other states. And then something that I guess Roger Leonard raised, Dr. Leonard at LSU raised the question a few years back, wondering about whether weevils are overwintering in these large round hay bales. And I'll talk a little bit about that. And basically, our weather in South Texas is subtropical. And so that we oftentimes have lack of freezing weather. And we'll, you know, frequently get down to like 29. It'll drop down to 29 around 7 o'clock in the morning, and by 9 o'clock it's back up to 40 degrees or something like that. So we might drop down below freezing, but we don't get the kind of weather that frequently kills mature plants. But this lack of freezing weather also figures in weevil survival. We frequently don't get the kind of weather that will kill the weevils in the wintertime. And then, you know, like I said, cotton plants can survive the winter, and there's two factors there. Mature plants, I was talking to Larry earlier in the week, and he was saying that they found some plants, mature plants in 2009 that, tracing the history of that field, they had to be there from 2006. So you have several year spans where cotton plants are surviving. And some of these cotton plants, part of the winter, have fruit that if there's weevils out moving around, they could find that and feed on it. And we have years where we've trapped weevils throughout the wintertime in the winter garden area. And then these plants that survive through the wintertime are potential for hostable cotton and egg laying very early in the season before the crop that's been planted is bearing fruit. And then the drought. We've had an extensive period of drought, broken by one year in 2007, where we had extremely heavy rainfall periods. But we've had about a five-year drought period, and a lot of times the cottonseed doesn't germinate in the fall, and then those light freezes take those plants out. And we've had years where even the following growing season, some of this cotton seed hasn't germinated, but it's 2 years later or something like that before they germinate. And then we have plants that survive crop destruction that, you know, in the more northerly areas of Texas and other states, the freeze kills those, but in some cases they survive the wintertime. This was a picture of a field that I took on the 21st of October of 2005. And, of course, this was not properly destroyed, in my opinion, because the farmer dissed it. And he had dissed it a number of times, but we still had a lot of... And this field was harvested, I think, the 25th of August. And then here we have 21st of October. This is one plant in that field. There were five fruit. Actually, it was a couple of plants there, but there were five fruit just on those few plants right there that would be serving as host for cotton. Another field taken right near my home. The front part of this slide here, there was a module right here, and the farmer actually disced this field but didn't get real close to the module, and these plants survived the disking. But you can see there's plants out in here that have survived the disking. Again, improper crop destruction, in my opinion. This is that earlier field that I showed you that I took the pictures in October. This was along the turn row, and you can see there's boll weevil foundation traps right in here. I think there were four or five traps here. They were trapping, I think, for this purpose, but also the field out here. But there was a concentration of traps here. This particular plant here, I took pictures on the 5th of January, and the plant appeared to be dead. But later on in March, that plant started developing shoots, and before other plants in the area would have had fruit, those plants would have had fruit on it again. Talk about the rain in 2007. We had an extended rainfall period where we had daily rains for longer than a three-week period that either precluded or nullified insecticide applications. I know that in some cases there were two applications went on the field in the same day, both of which got washed off. And so when you're dealing with things like that, that does interfere with a successful program operation. One area in the winter garden in that period of time received over 18 inches in one rainfall event, and there was serious flooding. And it was about a month before some of the traps could be checked or the fields treated with mist blowers. They were able to go in and treat some of those fields with aerial application, but again, we couldn't get around the edges of the field to treat with mist blowers for a long time. Irrigation, a lot of people have irrigation. In a winter garden, we have a lot of vegetable production and a lot of sprinkle irrigation, center pivots and that sort of thing. But we oftentimes have really hot soils, but where we have irrigation, those fruit that are falling on the soil, or I guess the soil is cooler, and so the larvae, the weevil larvae in those fruit laying on the soil surface survive better than they would if it wasn't irrigated in that way. Volunteer cotton, and we've talked a lot about volunteer cotton, but we have volunteer cotton germinating from seed from the previous season's cotton in subsequent crops such as corn, grain sorghum, and wheat. I've actually seen wheat fields where, you know, that they went around the cotton and they could have probably gone in and gotten a half a bale off the cotton that was in the wheat field. Vegetable crops, we have a lot of other situations, and we also have non-crop areas with volunteer cotton. This was a slide I took on the 17th of July in 2007 in a cornfield. There's six plants just in that little short distance there that were mostly 10-leaf stage cotton. There was no fruit on that cotton, but after the cotton got harvested, the corn was harvested and the sunlight was able to reach those plants, they flourished. Here we have where a module had been built in a cotton field the previous year. Planted the corn in the subsequent year, and you have cotton coming up where that cotton was left on the ground. This is a grain sorghum field. This was a slide I took in 2007. This was taken in 2008. This was in August of 2008. This field had been in cotton the previous year, planted to grain sorghum for a fall grain sorghum crop, and we got a 3-inch rainfall event toward the end of July, and even though that was irrigated grain sorghum, nothing had come up until we got that 3-inch rain. This is a watermelon field. We've seen that already. There's 66 cotton plants right here along this fence line here, and there's 66 here. There's two plants here There's two plants here. There's five plants here. Two plants here. Two plants here. And this was interesting because I talked to both growers, and what they were doing is they were pointing fingers like this. They were saying, well, I thought it was on his property. So I took a picture, and there's one plant right here on the west side of the fence, and there's one plant right here on the east side of the fence. But the bottom line was somebody should have taken ownership and dealt with it. One plant here. Out of these 80 plants, there were 561 weevils that I estimated came off of those plants. Those 561 weevils gave us a potential for 42,000 weevils in the first generation in the following year. The other issue is the herbicide transgenic cotton and corn in a cotton-corn-corn rotation, which is what we have a lot of in the winter garden area because we have a problem called cotton root rot, and it precludes, in most cases, cotton on cotton. And so a lot of cotton goes into corn ground and then corn ground again, and some of it goes into grain sorghum and other crops. But when we have a Roundup-ready cotton and then we have a Roundup-ready corn, that makes controlling that cotton and that corn a lot more difficult. And so that's been an issue for us. And I guess I raised the question, could the Mid-South and the Southeast have eradicated the boll weevil as easily had herbicide transgenic cotton been in widespread use 15 years ago? It's just something that I pose. Late planting dates, late harvest, and delayed crop destruction, it goes hand in hand in a winter garden because oftentimes we have vegetable crops that are either fall or winter vegetable crops, and those guys are getting those crops out, and then they come in and plant cotton. And I've argued that we ought to set a cotton planting date, but that's never going to happen probably. But when we have a vegetable producer planting cotton on June 15th, that really pushes your harvest date back and it pushes your crop destruct date back as well. So we've been dealing with issues like that as well. Topography and overwintering habitats. We have hundreds of square miles of rangeland and brushland that provide potentially unlimited overwintering habitat for weevils. Texas-style deer hunters and Texas deer feeders are ubiquitous. In about the last decade, but particularly since the corn has been going to ethanol production, a lot of deer hunters have resorted to feeding cottonseed as a less expensive protein source for their deer. And there are thousands of deer feeders located in areas that are many miles out of the way and never seen by anyone in a boll weevil eradication effort. And so there's that question, how much of this is really generating weevils that are interfering with what we're trying to do. The final fact I want to mention is overwintering in hay bales. There's strong circumstantial evidence that boll weevils are associated with large round hay bales. And in five different sites that I trapped this last year, I collected 262 weevils as of August 31st. I'm just going to go through. Here's a trap site 5. There were 82 weevils caught at this site. This is the same site at the end of 2009. Many more bales there, and this is springing up all over our country. And if weevils are a problem in association with these, it's going to become a bigger issue. These are all just different sites that I took in 2009. I've outlined several critical factors which hopefully explain some of the reasons why boll weevil eradication in winter garden has been difficult. However, failure is not acceptable, and these are not excuses for failure. We've implemented a number of measures that have been talked about. We're trapping every field that was in cotton the previous year now. If it has non-commercial cotton, we're assessing the growers for those fields that have to be treated when they become hostable. We're also levying fines if they allow the cotton to persist beyond the crop destruct deadline. We believe that these measures and others will prove successful in eliminating boll weevil and will achieve eradication in Texas. And I've run out of time and gone over. I apologize.